This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again on old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. Let's get up. We got to get a getting. You've been a lazy old scoundrel around here lately. We kind of let you rest for a few days, but let's get up now. We got to get a getting. Get out there where the folks are standing around waiting for the Old Trailblazer. And I'm happy that you folks put a thing on your refrigerator there to not forget the Old Trailblazer. But we're looking at this study on the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we were looking there about Isaac. First of all, we went into how Isaac was not a spiritual man, seemingly. It has very little about Isaac in the scripture. But we got down there to where Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his venison. That's mostly what it was said about there in about Isaac. And look there in Genesis 25:28. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Isn't that grace? Don't you like the buts of God? But God. But God. Oh, my friend. Many angles, Rebekah was the stronger of the two characters of Isaac and Rebekah in personality and spirituality. She understood the Word of God. She believed the Word of God. And she acted on the Word of God. No matter what you think of her, you might think she acted hastily, as we'll see a little later on, but she was moved by the Word of God. Let me just say something here. Just give me a minute. Blood kin in Christ and spiritual fellowship in Christ is far greater in every respect than a fleshly relationship on blood kin or any other kin. Do you know that? We have members of our family, and you probably do too, whom you have no fellowship with spiritually. You just can't. They don't know the Lord. They have no use for the things of God. I have fellowship with my family on whatever grounds I can about old times. We talk about old times, talk about memories. But listen, but you who know the Lord, walking with him, I have fellowship with you on spiritual grounds. That's why I like the fellowship days that we have here. It's just so many of God's people come together we haven't seen in a while, and we can sit down at night after the services are over, and maybe on Sunday evening, Saturday evening, we have a gracious time here, and we can talk about the Lord. And one of the things that I enjoy and appreciate, we have an old-time prayer meeting. We just stand up, one of the men or myself or someone leads a prayer meeting, gives out a verse or two of scripture and speaks about it, what the Lord has done. And then we give the folks an opportunity to stand up and say what the Lord has done for them. And that's a gracious time for me. I know folks tell me my grandmother, I never knew her, was an old time shouting Methodist. Now, I don't know her. I didn't know her, but they said she was a very spiritual woman. And I would have liked to heard her. And my grandmother, if the Lord had saved her, I'll see her in heaven. I'll get to hear what she had to say. But that's too far off. But listen, I have fellowship with you, my folks, on spiritual grounds. We can sit all day long, talk about the Lord if you'd like to. I heard this story about this pastor went to the hospital to visit a good friend in the hospital, and he started complaining. Everything was, bed was too hard, and the nurses didn't wait on him when they wanted to, and this and that, and the other room was small, and the window wasn't big enough. Finally, the pastor said, "My friend, do you have anything against the Lord Jesus Christ?" "Oh, no, Pastor, I don't have any objection." He said, "Well, let's just talk about the Lord. Let's quit complaining." And I tell my folks here, don't complain. Don't complain. I saw a bumper sticker on the back of a car not long ago. It said, "Don't complain with your mouth full." Oh, my friend, I think about our country here. We're in a terrible mess. Our country's in a mess, but we're still free. Can't you thank the Lord for that? Don't go about complaining about our president and criticizing him. But, my friend, let's just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for the breath we breathe every morning, the good, clean, fresh air out here in the country where I live. And thank the Lord for a job, and thank the Lord for the truth that's going out over the Old Trailblazer and over the Voice of Truth and over services, other services that we have. But let's go back to looking at Rebekah. She was the stronger of the two. No doubt she was. And that's all in the Lord's hand. That's not in our hand. You know, I know families where seemingly the wife is a lot more spiritual than the husband. And I see other places where the husband is more stronger. That's in the Lord's hand. But listen, blood kin don't mean that you can have fellowship with them. No, sir. No, sir. I imagine Rebekah and Isaac spent many a day and a many hour talking about the Lord. Yes, Rebekah and Isaac. And Isaac and Esau probably spent time together talking about his hunting trips, his killing the old buck, this old buck out there by making his venison taste good, how he loved it, so forth and so on. But now, there's the story. And that's the reason the Holy Spirit had to go down there in the closing days of Isaac's life and pick out an incident down there to show that he lived his life in the main that he lived by faith. There was faith there, but his life was controlled largely by his fleshly appetite from all indication. Now, let that soak in, because that hits home where many of us live, doesn't it? Right square in the face. Isaac had come to the end of his life in our study here, and he called Esau, his son, unto him to receive the family blessing. Now, you say, that's strange. I don't understand it. Why did he do it when he knew the prophecy, when he knew the word of God? Was he going to set aside the covenant blessing that God had promised to Jacob? Did he fail to recognize that God had elected Jacob instead of Esau? He did, seemingly, didn't he? Now, why? Because his eyes were dim spiritually. And the progenitor of the family, and also the one to be in line of the Messiah, seemingly on the surface, he was ignoring the word of God as a prophecy concerning his two sons. Now, let me tell you something. I can't ignore the word of God and get by with it. No, we can't. You can't either. God's election stands. Listen now. It stands. Instead of Isaac giving himself to prayer and meditation that he might know the will of God in this matter, this was a serious matter, my friend. It affected the whole future of the human race. It affected the whole future of God's redemptive plan, because he was to confer on Esau, a man of the flesh, a man who despised the covenant blessing, the family blessing, and the covenant blessing, the line of Messiah. When God had said back yonder, scores of years ago, before they were born, now they were grown young men. The elder, he said this back there, the elder shall serve the younger. Genesis 25:23, if you want to go there and read it. Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. Romans 9:13. But instead of giving himself to prayer and meditation, he approached the matter on the basis of what? Let's just think about it. His fleshly appetite. Now, turn back there to the 27th chapter of Genesis. Take up that second verse and read. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open there. Let's begin with that first verse, Genesis 27:11. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dimmed so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son? And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Behold, I am now old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Oh, my friend, what a verse of scripture. Now, isn't that the lack of spiritual discernment? Now, let's notice, what a sad commentary on the spiritual life of Isaac. I know that I'm looking at it from that angle this morning. You said, well, I never thought of Isaac like that. This verse reveals the low state in which a child of God may fall. Now, none of us are immune from it. Isaac presents us thus a solemn warning of the evil consequences which follows failures to judge and refuse our natural appetite. But I don't care. I don't care what they are. Let me go back. Quote that again. I have never thought of Isaac like this. This verse reveals the low state in which a child of God may fall. Oh, my friend, I mentioned in our last study, none of us are perfect, never will be till we get to heaven. Some of us seemingly has more grace than others. I have very little. But let's don't be so critical of one of God's children. Isaac presents unto us a solemn warning of the evil consequences which follow failures to judge and refuse our natural appetites. How many of us this morning would probably have to hang our head in shame and confess that at times we have followed our fleshly appetites instead of confessing, asking God to forgive us and break the power of whatever they may be, and give us a little bit, just a little bit of spiritual discernment. If you have that problem, my friend, ask the Lord to show you, if you do, that we may not dishonor our Lord. Oh, you know, we make excuses now, folks do, for sin. Well, you know how he is. You know, I've heard people describe a blamed old infidel as so mean that you can't get along. And his folks will say, well, you know how he is. Well, I know how he is. He's not saved, first of all, if you can't deal with him, if you can't entreat him kindly and get a kind response back from him. No, just, well, you know how he is. He's always been that. Well, my friend, that's not God's child. But if you're God's child, let's be careful how the world looks upon us. I was reading in one of Brother Spurgeon's devotion this morning. It said this little girl told her pastor, said, you know, the Lord saved me, pastor. And he said, well, good. Which one of my messages was it that the Lord used to save you? He said, well, it wasn't your message. It was my granny's. It was my granny's walk before the Lord. Isn't that something? Isn't that something, my friend? It was my grandma's walk before the Lord. So we see that we say a whole lot more by what we do than what we say. To walk in front of the world, walk in front of our husbands and our wives and our children and the world, my friend, world. I can tell you one thing, folks watch your life. Folks watch your life. They do. I've had folks wouldn't light up a cigarette when I walked up, or they stopped their kind of ugly talk. Well, not because of me, but they respect where I stand. They do. Pastor Shelton told us a story. Said he was in a little old service station getting gas, and said it was a man just a cussing. And he said walked up to him and tapped him on the shoulder. Said, "Fella, my friend, don't be talking about my Lord like that." And the guy took offense at it, but he went home to his heart. He said, "That's my Lord, you cussing and using his name in vain. Don't do that. That doesn't get you anywhere." But my friend, let us think. Would you do it? Could we just think about it a little bit, day by day? And may these messages cause us to think. That old Isaac there, we don't criticize him, but it seemed though he wasn't very spiritual. It seemed like he had very little discernment about spiritual things. And that's what this message has been all about. May we see ourselves. But this is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer. Remember, we have a little book here by Pastor Shelton that I've often advertised called Playing Church. I wish you'd write and get it. Maybe you've never heard it. Maybe you're a new listener. Write and I'll send it to you free and postpaid. Bringing out how we've drifted away from the old-time religion. My mailing address, the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Till next time, goodbye and God bless you.